wonderful word this morning. I'm going to say some things. In fact, I'm going to preach a great deal of what I have preached here before, probably somewhere else. And I'm sure some of you here may have heard it more than one time. But I've heard your song more than once, too. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and one familiar chapter, chapter number 23. Amen. Psalm and chapter number 23 this morning, please, in the Word of God.
Amen.
Psalm 23, six short verses. I want to read each verse in the service this morning. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, "The Lord is my shepherd,
Amen.
And I shall not want.
Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Amen.
He restoreth my soul.
Yes.
He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for Amen. His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
Amen.
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Amen.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
Now may the Lord add His blessing to that passage of Scripture. Let's bow together and pray this morning. Our Father, I want to thank You one more time, Lord, for the help on the radio marathon, for Your divine presence and intervention. Thank You for our friends throughout the area that gave of their finances that this ministry might continue to go forward. Thank You for Your people here in the church. I pray that You will bless them and reward them and prosper them, especially, Lord, in this coming year, maybe the last days, the last year we'll have to spend upon this earth before Jesus comes again. I pray, O God, that You'd still our hearts this morning. Help us to see the divine glory of God and Jesus high and lifted up. Help us this morning to see the cross and the glories of Calvary, how precious the cross is to our soul. I pray for divine power. I ask You, Lord, to fill me this morning with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom and grace. Help me, Lord, through a heart of love, preach what You've laid on my heart today, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. David here, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the son of Jesse, writing in Psalm number 23 on the shepherd and his relationship to the sheep. The relationship of our Lord to you and I on a personal basis. And I'm glad that God saves and deals with you and I on a personal basis. That we're not just a number in a group, but we're particular to God. He made you and I what we are. He gave us our personality. He made us who we are, and we're special in the eyes of God. God doesn't save on a wholesale basis. God saves sinners one sinner at a time.
Amen.
Dealing with individual hearts about their soul and about their eternal destination. And David here writes upon authority. David spent the early years of his life working as a shepherd boy for his father. And there's no question in my mind about it that David studied those little sheep. He watched them in their daily routine and in their habits. David watched them as they grew from little baby sheep up to their adulthood. He watched some that were quite obedient and satisfied with where they were, and He probably watched others as they were discontented, and many probably tried to go astray, and He knew how to deal with that also.
Amen.
May I say that our Lord knows how to deal with straying sheep? And He doesn't always deal as harshly as what we might think He does. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering with you and I? And God is patient with you and I? But I'll tell you, after a while, if we fail to learn, God knows how to take that little straying lamb and very gently and very lovingly break that leg on that little lamb that it will not stray anymore. He knows how to teach us valuable lessons in life. And David's studying these little old sheep. And so he's writing from experience, and he's writing in a place of authority. And he makes this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought, if God will help me. He pilots me. I'm glad, thank God, that He is my pilot. I've seen signs, lights, and plates on the front of automobiles with such a foolish statement as, "God is my co-pilot." Now, I want to thank Him this morning that God's not my co-pilot. God is the pilot of the ship, ladies and gentlemen. He knows the direction of travel. He knows where we're at and where He's taking us to. He knows the path that He wants to lead us down. God knows everything about us. And God knows the ending from the beginning and everything in between. And God knows what's best for you and I. He knows where the snares are, where the pitfalls are. God knows where the devil is lurking in the shadows. God knows everything. Nothing has ever escaped the mind of God. I've heard Harold Sattler say over and over again, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?" How true that is, ladies and gentlemen. I want to preach on that. He pilots me. I believe that's what he was saying when the Lord is my shepherd. That He guides me in my life. David said later on in Psalm 48, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And I'm so thankful this morning that He's in control of my life. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that He pilots this ship of mine that I'm sailing on today. I'll never forget the last time I flew. Miss Hall, Miss Ruth, and I had flown to Mexico. And on the return trip, we got what I thought was sidelined in Houston, Texas. Isn't it marvelous how when we think we're sidelined, God has always got us in line. And so we made the flight from McAllen into Houston, and they said, "Your next flight out is down at such and such a gate, such and such a place." And we began to travel in that direction. And I'm telling you, I told them on the way, I said, "We're headed for trouble." We walked and we walked and we ran and we walked and we walked and we ran. And by it being a long way off, I said, "They're going to put us on one of them little puddle jumpers. And I'll tell you, it's going to be the ungodliest flight that we've ever been on." In fact, I said, "We might not ever make it back to Nashville, Tennessee." And we went as far as we could go, and there was a tram. I said, "This is it, buddy." Got a door opened up, we loaded on that tram, and that thing took off. Shoot! I mean, just a flying. That door opened, we got off, and yet went down to another level. I said, "Puddle jumper. We're in trouble." And we got there, and they said, we give them our names, our tickets. They said, "You're on standby. You may or may not get out on this flight." I looked at my wife. I said, "What did I tell you? I'll never fly again." "That's it, buddy. Puddle jumpers, what it'll be. Rough flight, bad flight, may not make the flight." A little while, that fella called us and said, "We got one seat." I said, "Miss Ruth, I'm not leaving my wife. And she's not leaving me. And Mr. Ruth said, Brother Hall, it's bad enough flying with you on that plane. I ain't about to get on there without you. But we tarried a while, and that they come on and said, come over and said, we've got all three of you a seat on this flight. We loaded on. They had two seats down this aisle and one on this one. And they seated my wife by the window across the aisle from me and me right across over here by myself. I said, puddle jumper. Bad flight. They taxied that probably 55, 60, 70 seater down and out on the runway. That pilot came on and said, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot. I will be flying in the Nashville estimated time of arrival such and such a day. Said there's bad weather up ahead and it's probably going to be a rough flight all the way there. I said, I told you. And ladies and gentlemen, that airplane taxied down that runway and lifted off. And no sooner we got up in the air until it leveled off up into the clouds. And I noticed something strange. That airplane would bank to the left this way. That airplane had banked. I said, don't this idiot know how to fly an airplane? We never will get there. We're flying this way and that way and zigzagging and we'll never get there. And he just kept that up and he said, maybe a rough landing when we get to Nashville. I said, if we get to Nashville. But I'm telling you, that flight was smooth. Are you listening this morning? I'll get to where I want to go in a minute. That flight was smooth. And for the first time, I was able to get up and walk back to the back to the bathroom and didn't shake me all up. I was in that 747, thought it was going to vibrate me out of the air. Thought the tail end would fall off of it. But here we are on what I thought was a right flight, and we're sailing along smoothly. And he just kept in and out and up and down. And suddenly it occurred to me, there's thunderheads in the sky. And that pilot is not as dumb as what I thought he was. He was zigging and zagging to avoid every thundercloud in the sky. And may I say that not one time did we ever come in contact with a thundercloud. Amen. And I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord knows how to guide you and I through the storms of life. Amen. He can make a smooth flight, or he can make it a rough flight. Amen. But I guarantee you, smooth or rough, there's coming a day that this flight without an airplane, ladies and gentlemen, we'll settle down yonder on heaven's shore and we'll unload into the presence of Almighty God. And there'll not be one hair of our head lost in that flight. We'll make it because He said we'll make it. I'll never forget when I went to Germany. They loaded us on that little old troop carrier in New York Harbor. Sailed past the Statue of Liberty and out to sea. Made it to Rota, Spain, and from there up to the English Channel. And we stopped in that channel and the waves were choppy and high. And I asked someone, why are we stopping? They said, we're taking on a pilot that's going to guide us through this channel. I said, don't do Captain know the way? And the naval man on board said, yes, but there's still World War II mines in this English Channel. And that pilot has got a chart. And he knows where every mine is at. And he's going to guide us through the English Channel on to Germany. Now I'm telling you, it never dawned on me then, but thank God after I got saved, it occurred to me, ladies and gentlemen, that He that is piloting our lives knows where every mine is at, every danger is at, every problem is at, and I'll guarantee you our pilot will guide us safely across the channel. We're going to dock someday in heaven. Now you stay right with me and I'll just be a few minutes here. I want to say that he's not on my, and I'll get to my shepherd in a minute. He's my sovereign. The Lord is my sovereign. Sovereign means he can rule himself and he doesn't ask anybody how to rule himself. He's not like American, got to get the nod from the UN to do anything. That's the most corruptest, stinkingest outfit I ever seen in my life. Thank God there's a man in office that didn't bow down to that crowd. May I say, not only my sovereign, but the Lord is my Savior. Had it not been for the Lord, I may have been in hell this morning. But by the marvelous grace of God, the Lord that is my shepherd is also my sovereign and my Savior. And he died on the cross to redeem my soul. Amen. May I say that he's also my servant. Somebody said, we're his servants. Oh, yes. But he came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. He took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, yes, and he's serving us today. Oh, if you could ever get a hold of that. Now, I'm telling you, there's coming a day, Brother Andy, when we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that sovereign who is also my Savior will gird himself and serve us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I want to say the Lord is my shepherd. He's my sovereign. He's my Savior. He's my servant. He is my shepherd. He's the good shepherd that saves. The great shepherd that perfects. He is the chief shepherd that rewards and will reward someday.
Amen.
But because he is our shepherd, how does that affect our life? Amen. Are you going to hang with me? I'll be as quickly as possible. Some of you have heard it. But because he is my shepherd, David said, I shall not want. I said, one of these days I'm going to preach on some things I don't want. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to fall by the wayside. I don't want to lose my testimony. I don't want to disappoint the Lord. I don't want to disappoint the church. I don't want to disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint my children. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I'm going to tell you, if he's our shepherd, you mark it down, you will be content. I've never seen so many discontented people as what there is in the world today. I'm talking about discontented Baptists. Discontented in marriage. Wish I'd have got somebody else. Too late to think. Amen. Stuck for life. Hallelujah. Sow it, reap it. Make the bed, lay in it. I don't find any room for divorce. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Separation, yes, and murder, maybe. Divorce, no. Amen. I want to throw this in right there. If I have some of these women in here, I might consider murdering some of you ignoramuses in here the way you treat your wives. You're welcome. Gentlemen, I have never seen such inconsiderate men in my life. Such disrespect for the bride. Do you think that God Almighty would ever treat you that way? Do you think He'll ever run off and leave you standing at the altar? Do you think He'll ever run off and leave you holding the bag? I won't charge you a thing for that. Just thought I'd throw her in for extra measure, buddy. Amen. You better learn to love her. You'll get a lot more out of your marriage if you learn to be good to that woman. Right. Somebody said, bless God, I'm not henpecked. No, you're an idiot. In the Greek, that's idiotus. And we're having fun now. Folks discontented with the money they have. And we'll learn someday that it's not money, but it is the love of money that's the root of all evil. And son, we can make money our God, and many folks have made it their God, and you don't have to be rich to love it and make it your God. Be as poor as a Job's turkey. And all you ever want's money. All you ever talk about is money. I'm going to tell you better seek God first and His righteousness. Some of these other things will be given to us. Some of you right now are discontent with this message and wish I'd changed the subject. But the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I am contented with the way God deals in my life. Are you content this morning with how God is dealing with you? Amen. Somebody said, oh, He's taking away everything I've got. He never takes away anything. He don't give something better in its place. Amen. We may not always see that. But it'll always be better. And He'll always give His best to those that leave the choice with Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Why kick against the pricks? He pilots your ship. I'll say some things here in just a minute on that along that line. Brother Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content.
Amen.
Old Lot wasn't too contented. It got him in big trouble.
Amen.
Turned his wife into a pillar of salt. I thought about preaching on Lot's wife this morning. She almost made it, but she didn't make it. Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of Baptists profess Christ. They have had a natural tug to get to safety. They've had a supernatural tug like the angels to pull them to God. But they turned around and looked back. There's a whole lot of Lot's wife, ladies and gentlemen. Philippians 4:11 said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Right now I'm in the state of Kentucky and I'm content there.
Amen.
Amen. I heard somebody say the other day, I'd like to go to Florida. Go on. I'm happy right where I'm at.
Amen.
I like hunting deer and turkey. If I ever get out, and I'm going to now because my buddy back there done got the tortoiseshell turkey collar. Amen. I am content. In whatever state I'm in. Paul would say, whether I'm in jail, whether I'm in the palace, whether I'm in bonds, whether I'm at liberty, I'm content because all things work together for my good because I love God.
Amen.
And kids sang a while ago. Was that, they used the word something, God has got enough. Is that what? That was, huh? He'll be enough for me.
That's right.
You know what? Job said to God about, the devil said to Job, to God about Job, is God, in essence he was saying, is God really enough for Job?
Right.
If you take away everything that he has, will he still love you? If you take away all of his wealth, if you take away all of his power, all of his possessions, even take away his family, will Job still love God? Is God enough? I want to ask you that this morning.
Amen.
Is God enough for you? Or do you have to have the blessings instead of the blesser? We want the blessings, but I'll tell you, we'll get the blesser. Ladies and gentlemen, the blessings will just naturally come along with it. That's right, you get the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, He pulls a great big, long train of blessings behind him. He does not leave without his rewards. Amen. Paul said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Everybody listen now. I'm getting out. I'll be there in just a minute. We'll be done. Listen carefully. I've heard people say, the Bible says that a sparrow will not fall to the ground without the Lord being there. Doesn't say that. Said a sparrow will not fall to the ground without the Lord. Then he said, are ye not worth much more than many sparrows? I'm going to tell you what he's saying. The Lord, when a sparrow dies, ladies and gentlemen, when a sparrow dies, God just doesn't know about it. He's there.
Amen.
God comes on the scene, buddy, when a sparrow dies. Are you not worth much more than many sparrows this morning? I'm telling you, if God will give a divine funeral to a sparrow, do you think he'll not give divine funeral to a child of Almighty God? Woo! He might make Gabriel and Michael the pallbearers. Hallelujah to God! Turn them fans on back there, Brother Wayne. Think some folks must took too many Tylenol PMs last night. Them soldiers asked the Lord about what to do, and the soldiers came, and he said the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall I do? He said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Myself and one employee volunteered not to take a raise this year, and I volunteered the rest of it. Be no raises. Be content. Now we're going to help some in some ways. We can't go into all that detail. But we always do. We always give them a little extra money on marathon time. We got some other things we're going to be doing. Listen carefully. Boy, and I like this. I want you to listen carefully. We're content with His power. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Are you content with His power over you? The power that the potter has over the clay? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I'm telling you that God does have power over the clay. Are you satisfied with His power over your life? Son, when you had control, you destroyed what you had. Let Him be your pilot this morning and let His power control your life for you. Amen. Brother Smith taught on Sunday school this morning on that meat offering. You had to use fine flour, and flour is made from wheat. And he said, you see that wheat growing out in the fields? It gets growed up and come when it gets fruit on it, its head bends over. He said, that's a type of humility. It might be praying too, Brother Wayne. Type of humility. And he said, you can see the wind blowing. The wind's a type of the Holy Spirit. And the wind begins to blow those little grains of wheat in that field. The amber waves of grain. I won't say this, and please don't get mad at me this morning. But I'm telling you, the little wheat does have any power to resist the wind. And if you think you've got power to resist God in your life, you're a fool. When God wants the wind of heaven to blow on one of His young'uns, there's no power to resist.
Amen.
It is either yea or heaven. Yea, I am the vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And that's not talking about lost people. Never seen a lost man in Him. That's talking about saved people that will not comply to the Word of God. They are heaven bound with two hammers down.
Amen.
You'll either walk right or God will kill you if you're His.
And if there's no chastening in your life and God's not, the wind's not blowing, hey, that wind ain't a swaying you one way or the other. If you're stiff and rigid and refuse to move to the will of God, you are a lost man. He said in verse number 2, he maketh me to lie. Maketh me. Maketh me. He didn't say, now lay down. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Are you content this morning with the pastures you graze in? Some of you look a little distraught this morning. Paul might have been here too long. He don't know where to lead us anymore. Is that right? You're like that little sheep that the grass always looks greener on the other side. When you get on the other side, you'll find out that grass is grass is grass is grass. Amen. And it's not greener on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, we're rebellious creatures. We're like that old backsliding heifer always wants to ram her nose through the fence and eat somebody else's grass. Yep. Then your own pastor need what God did. Hey, he said green pastures, not briars, thistles, and thorns. Right. Somebody said, well, I don't like clover. I like it. Amen. Alfalfa and lespediza too. Oh, the spiritual kind, you know. Amen. I'm content. Some folks are not content grazing in the green pastures of the King James 1611 Bible.
Right, amen.
I learned this morning that the new King James has got a satanic emblem in it.
Yep. Sure does.
Oh, it's just a little word here and a little word there. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go get just a little drop of arsen and drop it in a glass of water and let you sip on it a while. We'll play Jimmy Jones today if you want to. Just a little poison, ladies and gentlemen, will kill you. And I'm going to tell you something. Them people in that train accident up there where that chlorine gas got out, some of them died from the odor before they ever saw the gas itself. I'm going to tell you, the smell of it got them down. And the smell of some NIV just about turns my gut.
Amen.
Not the NIV, the HIV, the RSV. Most cases in America, it's a SUV. An ATV. Amen. I'm doing nothing wrong with the pastor. Sometimes it's milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word, Peter said. Sometimes it's meats, but strong meat belongeth to those that are full age, Brother Paul said. And sometimes it's manna to him that overcometh. I'll give the hidden manna. It's what John said in the book of the Revelation. I want to say I'm content with the past that he leads me in also. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Are you satisfied with the old path of righteous living? Oh, Brother Hall, I don't think women ought to necessarily have long hair. The Bible said they do. And I'm telling you, as many times I've preached against women wearing breeches, I never thought of this in my life. Deuteronomy 22:5, does it not say that it's an abomination to put on that which pertains to a man, ladies? That's what it says. I'm going to tell you what John said in the book of the Revelation. And no abominable thing shall enter into heaven. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Amen.
Now you can take that ever how you want to take it.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. And John said, there shall no abominable thing enter therein.
Amen.
I never thought of that. Pretty tight. I ain't talking about tight britches either. I don't even think men ought to wear tight britches. Some of you men run around, a pair of Levi's on, look like somebody melted you and run you in there. Your hind end sticking out look worse than a woman in a pair of them. That's right. tail end, front end alike, bulging and dragging. Come on in the house. Praise God, I'm talking about old time holiness. I'm talking about living a holy life, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to God. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Leads us in paths of redemption. Up Calvary's mountain, one red for more, and there's a path of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm happy in Jesus this morning. I'm saved, 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 saved. Bless God. If I had any voice, I'd really get saved to you. Praise God. Amen. Paths of redemption and righteousness. He restoreth my soul. Paths of restoration. I want to show you something. That word restoration means to start over, but not necessarily at the starting point. If you're saved, you don't have to get saved all over again. But sometimes you do have to get restored. We're not perfect yet. Oh, surely nobody in here would be a fool to stand up and say, I've arrived. I am without sin. Brother James, would you do me a favor? Run over in that parking lot and get a bucket and bring some rocks over here. I want to see somebody start throwing some. You can make a fool out of yourself real fast. You ain't arrived. I ain't arrived. But I'll tell you, I'm pressing toward the mark. And every now and then, a little sheep, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that shepherd will restore the sheep.
Amen.
We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Sometimes, God's people, I've been a lot more patient with some of you than I ever thought I would be. Some of you in here, I wouldn't like to break your leg. I would like to break your neck. I imagine when that bone popped, you'd like to break mine. If you don't know I love you, but now you're in bad shape. I want to see folks restored, don't you? I don't see, hey, these men that have fallen into sin. Now, I don't believe, look here, now, I don't believe, I ain't changed. I don't believe a saved man can fall into adultery and lay there for 5, 10, 15 years and God. And then when it gets found out, they get right. But I'm going to tell you, I believe somebody like David can be tripped up in sin. And I'm going to tell you, it's let those that are spiritual restore such a one in meekness and fear, lest we ourselves also be overtaken. I'm going to tell you, there is such a thing as restoring people. And I'm not saying give them a license to go on sinning. You can't restore somebody when they're living in sin. They've got to repent and get right in their heart with God. Then you can restore them. To fellowship with the church, to fellowship with the Lord, and to fellowship with those that they've sinned against.
Amen.
Now stay with me, I'm about done. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am contented. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am comforted. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Somebody said in there last night, Brother James was saying last night about the valley, said something about the valley, and said he's still our Lord or something to that effect when we're in the valley. And I thought, he's the lily of the valley. You know he'll comfort you when you're in the valley. When you feel alone and broken and beaten and battered and wounded and weary and worn and like you've gone as far as you can go and you're in the valley of despondency. Thank God the Lord is my shepherd and I am contented, but I'm also comforted by Him. He knows how to take that rod and that staff and comfort you with them.
Yeah.
That rod, he kind of paddles. And with that staff, he holds you up. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus can beat the daylights out of us with one piece of and hold us up with the other end of it. Woo! Take one instrument and beat the fire out of you. Take the other end of it and hold you up. And you'll take a whooping like a good boy. You won't be like these little boys around here. Come here, boy, I'm going to whoop you. Hey! Daddy, I'm going to tell you, some of you is digging a hole you ain't going to get out of.
Amen.
Just like Jezebel raised the puppies that eat her, some of you is raising puppies.
Amen.
Better learn to control these kids for your sake. They'll get you one of these days if you don't.
Amen.
Won't charge you nothing for that. He not only comforts me in the valley, he comforts me in victories. Somebody said, preacher, how do we have to be comforted in victories? Just like Samson, when he fought that battle with the jawbone of an ass, he was weary and worn and wore out. But God claimed a hollow place in the jawbone of the ass, and he drank water and found comfort. But he'll always comfort us when we're behind the veil. Valleys, victories, and the veil. I sat in there last night and listened to old brother Joel Gray. Joel got to praying and he got plugged up. He didn't have to tell me that. I heard him over there, just real low and quiet. I said to myself, he's in behind that veil, buddy. When he finally quit praying and turned around, them tears wet with the tears of his eyes ran down his cheeks, and there was a smile on his face and a glow about his countenance that let you know that he had gotten behind that veil. He said, Brother Hall, I've been wrestling with decisions for a long time. And said, right there, God gave me assurance that God's going to lead me in the right direction. I'm telling you, that's comfort. How comforting it is to know that we've not made a stupid, blundering mistake of our life. Are you listening? What a great God.
Yes,
then I want to say in closing, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am contented. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am comforted.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am certain.
Amen.
I'd hate to be an Armenian.
Amen.
And I don't say that ugly. They serve God out of fear. I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I will. Surely good and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He didn't say I'm going to have to. That word surely means he didn't even have to turn around and look, ladies and gentlemen. He was so certain they were there. And there's two things there. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. There's the blessings. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's the bliss.
Amen.
I want to ask you something. Are you certain this morning?
Amen.
Do you know that you know?
Yes.
That you know that you've been to Calvary. And that the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
Do you know that the great sovereign God who departed heaven and became your Savior and your servant is also your shepherd?
Amen.
Has he contented you in life? Has he ever comforted you? Has he ever made you certain? For I know whom I believe, Brother Jerry. Paul didn't say, I'm a hope and I'll make it. I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded.
Right.
Are you persuaded? That is not Islamic fear. That's not a slave. I gladly bear my ear, ladies and gentlemen, to the doorpost and let him auger it through and God. Amen. The mole is cast in the dust. Said, I'm His.
Amen.
And He is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Therefore, I shall not fear what man can do unto me. Bless him, Brother Wayne. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That wouldn't make a Baptist run his head through the wall.
Amen.
I feel like running mine through it, heading in that direction and trusting God to make the hole.
Amen.
Amen.
You do know we're going to heaven.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the blessings of God are behind you. The bliss of God's in front of you. How can we go wrong? Heard old brother Billy Schaffner say one time preaching, he said, I got grace above me. He said, I'm standing in grace. And in this grace wherein we stand. He said, I've got grace under me. I've got grace over me. I've got grace on the right hand and on the left. I am surrounded by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heard Brother Sammy Allen give this illustration. He said he used to think, when he talked about us all being in Christ, that he said, drawed a great big circle. And he said, here's me and here's this Christian, this Christian. And said, we're all in that circle in Christ. He said, that's not true. He said, God's not got a circle around us, all of us collectively. He said, here's me and here's God. Here's you, and here's God. He's got a circle around each one of us individually.
Right.
Preserved in Christ and called.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. As Don Anderson said, he said his mama used to can them green beans. Put them on the stove on that pressure cooker and said that pressure cooker start going. That little old bumper on that little knob said. That steam out. Said when she'd turn it off, she knew exactly how much pressure to put on there. Said she'd turn it off and said, Brother Don, say, Mom, ain't you going to open the kettle? And she said, can't right now. There's too much pressure in there.
Yeah.
Said, Mom, after them beans cooled off, she'd set them out on the counter. And as they begin to cool off, said, them lids on them little flats that she put on there and threw that lid on them, said, in a minute you'd hear one of them little flats go. Said, them beans was sealing. You do know that we're sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I've eaten some green beans that's been in the jar a long time. And they wasn't even a trace left. Got a mold on the top of them. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is my shepherd. I am contented. I am comforted. I am certain today. God is my shepherd. Is He yours? If He's not, He can be. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. What a great shepherd. Is He yours this morning? Are you in His grazing pastures? Are you that little lost lamb that went astray that Jesus left the 99 the fold? Come and seek. And He would not give up. Until He found that little sheep. Laid it on His shoulder. And carried it back to the fold. Are you that lost coin this morning? That woman would refuse to stop seeking for. She looked through the darkness and the dirt because she got a broom and swept the house. When she found the coin, she called her neighbors and said, rejoice with me. Are you the lost son this morning that was down in the hog pen? Or are you in the hog pen? I'll tell you, the Father never gave up hope because He saw that boy coming afar off. He was expecting Him, ladies and gentlemen. He's expecting something today. Oh, I long to see sinners come to Him. I long to see people get saved, and I long to see revival. Would you make Him your shepherd today? Give your life in the hands of the great pilot. He pilots me. I'll guarantee you'll make it to yonder shore. Told the disciples, said, get in the ship. Go to the other side. Storm come across the waters on the way. But guess what? They made it. And because they made it, we're going to make it. Hang in there, little sheep. Follow the shepherd. Listen to His tender voice. Listen to Him call. Raise in His grassland and His pasture. He spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He'll let us eat in the presence of our enemies and stand sentinel while we're grazing. Keep a watchful eye out upon His children. What a great job. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning. I want to thank You, Lord, for being our shepherd. Help the people today. Help our hearts. Dear Lord, to trust in You more. Live for You in a greater way. Save some poor lost sinner today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never made that decision, would you make it today while we sing? 316, is it, Brother George? 316, I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's sing right out on that first verse. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Brother Wayne Allen Smith was the wise man.